Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Home in on end-of-season savings on bedding, curtains, wallpapers and more. In-store and online at harrycurry.com.
0818 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon. You are very welcome to Liveline. Katie Hannan with you until 3 o'clock today. Today, of course, being day five of the post-storm Eoghan aftermath. And we are getting a lot of calls. A lot of people are out there. 168,000 of you, to be precise, still without power 5 days afterwards. I'm being told, as you're hearing there in the news and we're hearing the morning shows, being told it may be many, many days yet before you get back on the grid. The latest update from Uisce Éireann, 30,000 with still without water as well. Catherine, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
Where are you based, Catherine?
Tuam, County Galway, just out Birmingham Road.
And how are you?
Not good.
So you have been out since Thursday night as well, I presume?
Yeah.
And what's your situation there?
We're so cold, we're hungry, we're exhausted. Trying to get heat, calling to older people. I'm 65 and I'm trying to look after 75 and 80-year-old people, about six of them. And they're way colder than I am. We're just frozen. We're so exhausted. We're so hungry. We didn't have a hot meal since last Wednesday, just before the storm. And the government aren't doing anything for us. We can't get up. We have no internet. We're lost. We don't know what's happening outside our homes. There's a few places in Turlochmore and Clare Galway that is set up. But there's nothing for the people to chew. All the chimneys are taken out, which the government told them to do. So now they have zero means of heat. It's a disgrace. I wish someone would help us. Give us gas heaters. Give us radio so we can hear what's going on. It's a disgrace. We haven't a government. Because if there's a government out there, they're ignoring us. The only person I could get through to yesterday was Michael Healy Ray in Kerry. The only man, our own. All they're doing is looking after parks and telling us to stay home and starve and stay home in the cold houses. They're so out of touch. I believe that they denied it. They were offered help and the government said they didn't need it. We need it. We're cold and hungry.
Catherine, I know, and I can only imagine 5 days without a fire or without a source of heat, that just wears you down to the bone. I know that. Is there anyone that can help you out with a hot meal even, or, you know, have you any means at all to heat water, to make a cup of tea?
The last bit of the camping gas that I have is ready to run out, but I'm not worried about me. It's the older people that you call to them and they're so cold, and we're afraid that they're lighting candles everywhere and we're just scared for them. We're trying to help them. I have a few power banks and I'm trying to power their phones and everything.
I suppose the positive thing we're taking from this is how neighbourly everyone is being and are looking out for the likes of your neighbours there. But I know you feel there should be more official help for that. But
there is zero official help from our government. Zero.
But
absolutely zero.
And what's your own situation in your own house, Catherine? Are you living on your own or...?
No, I've one other person with me. But what we do is get up in the morning and try and go out to the neighbours. And we have a few power banks that we go into town and get them charged up because we can't charge them. And we're doing that and trying to charge their phones up and trying to charge torches and stuff for them.
Where are you doing that, Catherine? Where are you getting to do that?
There's little pockets in Tuam that has some electricity, but there's an awful lot. There is an awful lot without it. An awful lot.
I'm just looking here at Tony Connolly, our colleague in the newsroom here, telling us today that we've some generators are coming in from the European Commission. Apparently we asked for 25 generators on Saturday and we're getting 17 from the, they're coming into us from Denmark. So I don't know where they're going to end up, where they're going to be placed, but hopefully, I presume some of them will be heading down west anyway, because obviously you're one of the worst hit parts of the country.
It's a disgrace. I'll tell you one thing. I'm 65. And when I was a child, we had way more than we have now. We had heat. We could put on fires. But now, we can't even do that. Things are going backwards. And the government is a disgrace. And I can only thank Michael Healy, the only guy down in Kerry that answered my call yesterday. No one else would.
What did he say to you, Catherine?
He said he was going to contact someone in Galway County Council to try and do more for us.
Catherine, we're having trouble with your line there. I'm not sure. Are you inside the house or are you?
I'm in a car going around helping people.
All right. So it sounds like it's a bit windy or there's something, some kind of interference.
Yes. I'm in the car now again.
Oh, you're in again. Okay. So there's two of you in the house and you have managed with a camp. Is it a camp?
Camper gas.
And is there, because I heard that people are kind of struggling even to get like gas for.
You can't get it yet. Yeah. There's nowhere. Why don't the government collect all the gas and bring it down here to the west? Because it's not, you need it in the east.
I saw the Taoiseach was down because he got the head taken off him down in at an emergency hub in Roscommon today. So there are emergency hubs. I'm not sure if you're far away or if you have, well, your problem is, of course, you can't get information, as you say, because you're not on the internet. You don't have coverage.
Yes, exactly. I'm even afraid to stay too long on the phone in case it dies, because it is, these are the lifeline ones that are charged up.
Yeah, I can imagine. Do you know, it's funny, we have become so, expecting to always be connected with everyone at all times. I can only imagine, it's an awful shock to the system when you have to go days on end without that connection being available to you.
There's so much destruction around our area that we're not expecting our electricity back for at least another week. We're not expecting it. They're telling us it's every evening, but every evening it's the next evening. But there's so much damage that I can't see it coming back anytime soon. So this is going to go on, and we are in the middle of winter. And as I said, I'm 64, 65, but yet there's a lot of elderly people who are a million times worse off, and we're trying to help them.
And what can you do? Do people have like blankets or duvets, or is there? Can you bring hot water bottles to them? What have people got going to try and keep? Because that is a huge thing to keep people warm overnight, particularly.
Hot water bottles are no good when you can't heat the water. That's the problem. They're going around with wrapped blankets around them with candles lit at night, and it's only a matter of time you'll hear more tragedy because of, probably, we're afraid that they'll set their houses on fire.
Yeah, we have to put that out there. Be very, very careful if you're leaving candles lighting, for sure. That is an issue that we need to be very careful about. I can hear it in your voice, Catherine. You are completely at the end
exhausted.
Of your tether there.
Exhausted.
Yeah.
Absolutely beyond. And shocked to think that there's a government and they do absolutely zero. Because they probably have electricity in their homes and they're looking after parks, making sure the trees aren't dangerous. But as far as the people are concerned, zero.
Well, no, I know, and I'm not here to talk for the government. They will say they have emergency hubs, that they're out on the ground there. But we'll hear more about that later, Catherine. But I know from what you're saying there, you're not seeing the help on the ground where you are. Listen, Catherine, I'm conscious of your phone and your battery. I let you go, but you take care of yourself. And I hope you get help there soon.
Thank you very much for listening. Thank you.
Thank you, Catherine. I'm going to bring in Pa now. Pa, good afternoon.
Hi, how are you keeping?
Pa, where are you based?
I'm Pellis Kinry myself, West Limerick.
All right, you're not too far away from my home spot. Are you out of power there now at the moment as well?
Yeah, we're still out. We're on our fifth day now, going into our sixth tomorrow.
Right, and what's your situation? Who have you got there with you?
Well, so my mother and father, they live probably 100 metres, maybe 200 metres from my own place. And so my own father, he's a stroke victim, and my mother's a breast cancer survivor. And they have no power either. They've nothing. And it's gone on too long. And they're saying the hubs and stuff like that. It's not feasible. Like there needs to be more help, you know. And yesterday, it actually broke my heart. I called down yesterday to the parents after just leaving them for 2 hours. They worked in our own place for the time, and I left them down at home for 2 hours. And when I arrived back, they've damp duvets from the cold because they can't heat the house because the house has a back boiler in the stove. You know, you have gas heaters, but they're not going to heat a block house, like, you know what I mean? It's not sustainable, like, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it came to yesterday, it came to a situation that they've, so there's myself and my three brothers now. There's one up in Dublin, there's two others abroad. And it came to that, we had to make a decision that, are they staying there or what are we doing? And we ended up having to put them in the hotel last night. And it gave us a bit of comfort, you know, even though we're still going to not having power, you know, myself and my partner, but it gave us comfort that we knew Mum and Dad was okay, you know. And arriving to the hotel was just like, there's heat there, there's showers there, you know. And my father's paralysed on the right side, and his arm is like cotton to his waist, and so there's no flow through his right arm. And then with the cold, obviously everything has stiffened up completely, and he had no feeling of anything in his right arm, you know. And his muscles in his leg, he was wheelchair bound after a stroke, came through that, but like his muscles in his leg weakening down, you know. They haven't been eating dinners, you know what I mean? It's just like we're getting takeaways, and it's not healthy, like it's not. Yeah. And there's no talk, there's no, like, you ring people and there's nothing we can do, do you know what I mean? There has to be something that can be done, and the hubs aren't the answer, you know. It's like, come out and support the vulnerable people, like that lady that was on just prior to me, like, that break your heart, you know, and you think you have it bad, but and Jesus, that lady just break your heart, you know.
Pa, is there a lot of damage down your way? Would you think it's going to take a lot to get the power back up?
There's poles down, like, you know, but there's houses with power around us, and I'm sure, fair enough, they haven't had it as much, like, there hasn't been as much damage, but there's homes around us that have power and stuff, and it's just like, even in my own place, we just want one place that we can heat, you know what I mean? It's fine saying, oh, call to this person, call to that person. You can't just call in on someone, you know what I mean? It's very hard. For 5 days straight, you're not going to be calling to people's houses. Now, I'm lucky, I have good friends and stuff that are willing to help, but like, what help can they give us, you know? You can't move into their house, like, you know, and it's like, there's a branch down on the cables alongside my house that's arcing. I've had three crew members, and don't get me wrong, every one of them ESB crew members, they're heroes, like, you know, any of them frontline workers, like, they've done amazing what they've done, you know, but who's given the orders? Where's the vulnerable people on the list, like, you know what I mean?
I was listening to reports about this. Now, as I said, I'll just give the numbers again. They've restored 600,000. There is still 168,000 left, but I think they're acknowledging now that that's going to take a lot longer to get through those than it was to get through the first 600,000, because they're dealing with the more difficult problems. Now, the good news is, crews are arriving. There's ones from Austria, from Finland arrived this morning. There is French crews and Dutch crews en route. So you would hope that just the sheer level of manpower would, you know, would speed things up a bit.
100%. Yeah. But we're 5 days into this situation, you know, in something that we had plenty of notice about. I remember reading a news article that, oh, they reckon this storm is going to break records. Why weren't these people already, do you know what I mean, bought over? You know, the money's there for it, do you know what I mean? It's, why wasn't there a plan put in place? Like you said there previously, just getting 17 generators from the EU that are arriving soon. But why haven't we had these? Why we lose the power? We went through 2 days with the snow. We've lost the power. I think that showed us that our infrastructure wasn't good enough. Like, you know.
Yeah,
what I
was thinking you had bad snow there in West Limerick, didn't you, as well?
Yeah, and it was horrendous. Like, whatever about now, it's not as cold, but hell, like we've been 7.5 days now in January with no power, you know.
Because it went down as well with the snow,
like, you know, and it's like it's 7.5 days you're not showering, you know. It's 7.5 days that, no, this is longer, obviously, but like you've 5 days now and like you've got clothes, you need to wash clothes, you know, and not everybody are in positions to go and get these things done,
or,
you know.
Or go into a hotel, as you say. How's your freezer pad? Did you have problems with the freezer?
Yeah, so everything's gone, you know. So now myself and my partner, we hadn't done our shopping prior, but my parents had, because they were like, well, we're not going to get out over the weekend, you know. And they have a full freezer of food. Now, fair enough, it's probably only a week and a half, 2 weeks of food, but that's gone in the bin now. Do you know what I mean? And it's all financial losses to them, and there's no answers. I was told humanitarian fund was there or whatever it was. And I was actually speaking to one office yesterday that told me to print out the form and bring it into the office. And I'm like, but we've no power.
Where are you going to get a printer from? I actually have a statement. I'll just say that because a lot of people will be wondering about that. So this is what the official situation is. Humanitarian Assistance Scheme, which is administered by the Department of Social Protection. They're offering financial support to households that have been affected by this. This includes emergency support payments for food and clothing, and those emergency payments are not income tested, and they're just based on whether the immediate need of people who have those issues. Now, there is also, they say, support available for the replacement of white goods. This is freezers and that, and basic furniture, and to repair damage to homes. But that's means tested, and you have to have those income limits on that. So the income limits are, if you're single, 50,000. So that's available to you if you earn less than 50,000. For a couple, it's 90,000 and 15,000 per dependent child. And they say if you earn more than that, there is reduced or tapered levels of support may be provided, they say, in cases where income is above that level. So they say to access these, emergency community welfare service contact details are available on gov.ie. Now, the first thing I'm thinking, I know people are out there screaming at the radio going, how are we supposed to get on gov.ie if we don't have power and we don't have internet access?
Internet.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what you were told to do, to print out a form.
Yeah. And like, I'm not being bad, but if you're earning money and you can't wait for a fridge, you know, you can't wait to be means tested for a fridge. You can't wait to be means tested for these things, you know. These are basic needs in life, like, you know. Yeah. And they're human needs. You need to store your food in the correct place. You know what I mean? You need to be able to wash your clothes, you know. Why are they being means tested? And if people have had damaged stuff, let's just give it to them, you know, and let's just talk about it, like, you know, just do something. Like, we're 5 days and there's nothing from the government, really. Do you know what I mean?
Pa, listen, I've so many calls, so many people in your position, Pa. The very best of luck to you. I really hope those lines get up sooner than you think. And the very best of luck to your parents as well. Take care of yourselves.
Yeah, cheers.
Cheers. We'll take a break.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
I want to bring in Eilish now. Eilish, good afternoon.
Hi, Casey. Good afternoon to you.
Where are you, Eilish?
I'm in Roundstone in Connemara.
What's your situation there?
Well, where do I start? So basically, we have we've obviously experienced the same storm as everybody else and in a similar situation to everyone where we have no power, we have no heat, etc. And our roof has been damaged quite significantly. Now, our roof had been damaged back in October and we live in a two-bedroomed, fairly new council house, mm-hmm. which we're in for about 2.5 years from new mm-hmm. house, and it's got one of those air-to-water systems. Yeah. So when our roof was damaged back then, we reported it umpteen times to the council because we have a son with autism. He's 6 years of age and he's been going to school very stressed out about the roof. We've got notes home from school saying that he is suffering, you know, with anxiety, and he's talking about the noise because there's a constant rattle from the other loose tiles. So we've been reporting this I don't know how many times. We had the counsellors coming around canvassing. We reported to them, we'll take your number, we'll call you back, and, you know, we're still waiting. So we did reiterate to them that we were conscious that any other kind of wind or storm that would come, that, you know, these tiles were just falling off the roof and smashing in the garden in front at the front door and behind the house.
Yeah, and which is dangerous, quite apart from anything else, yeah.
Absolutely. And we were put down as low priority on the list. That's what we read, was low priority. So we continued on sending letters and emails, which I have a record of everything. And we were really conscious with the storm, as it was predicted that it was going to be particularly bad. So, when the storm came, we actually had a thunderstorm the night before, which was quite bad. And myself and my son were up most of the night with that. He was trembling with fear. Then we had the storm, which I'd never heard anything like in my life. It was like an orchestra of wind. There was wind coming from, like, we didn't feel safe wherever we were, and you could hear the tiles rippling off the ceiling like fingernails being plucked off. They were just rippling and landing in the garden and smashing, and the noise, I'd never heard anything like it. I mean, it was just unbelievable. Like, we were terrified. We were all, myself, my husband and my son were sitting on the couch, and my son won't even wear ear defenders, but he grabbed the headphones and he just put them on him to try and block out the sound.
Yeah, I think you were really at the brunt of it there, where we are there in Connemara.
Yeah, and many other houses in our estate had the same, you know, the same fate, and lots of people around. There were huge amount of trees down, and the trees were actually blocking either side of the main road to get out of here, to get out, you know, of the area. So, the local people really rallied round and helped to remove the fallen trees, but it took, you know, quite some time, you know, for people to get
and where are you now with that? Is there, I presume, with that amount of tiles flying off, that there is now an even bigger gap in your roof?
Our roof is completely exposed. We were told before, oh, don't worry, the felt is not, you know, it won't leak. The felt is leaking. Our ceilings are saturated. My husband, the straw that broke the camel's back was today when we lifted, took the attic door open, and we actually, it looks like a skylight. We have a complete view of the sky. All of the ridge tiles are gone. There's a huge gap. All the felt is blowing in the wind now, and the rain was pouring down. All the insulation is saturated. Our bed was saturated. We contacted the council, and they told us that today, I spoke to the maintenance guy, and he said it's going to be at least a week before anyone gets to us. Now, I did say to him, you have my emails there since October, and he said, oh yeah, we do, but, you know, sorry about that, but there's nothing we can do about that, you know, the storm. But they had enough time, I think, if it had been repaired, back earlier, the damage would have been limited.
Okay, well, you have a big job there. Now, Eilish, I know that you have to go to pick up your son from school. So I'll let you go. The very best of luck there, that you get that sorted. That is not a good situation to be in. I'm going to bring in Breida now. Breida, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Katie.
What's your situation? Where are you for? Where are you, Breida?
We're only about 6 miles, 7 miles from Galway city centre. So you would think that, you know, we would be connected at this point. But we are on the fifth day, as Fa and Eilish and the other lady said.
Catherine,
who spoke first, and I suppose the big problem I have is that we have a government, but they have not sat since November 8th. And when they sit again, it will be the 5th of February. So essentially 3 months without a Dáil. And the Dáil is the only place where the opposition politicians can get answers. So I'm immensely proud of Rachel Connolly, who spoke today in Castlereagh, who challenged Micheál Martin.
Oh yeah, I should, just in case
so
people...
Robustly.
Sorry, yeah. Maureen, just in case people haven't seen it, it's up online and they might have heard it elsewhere as well. This was when Taoiseach Micheál Martin was in an emergency hub in Roscommon. And as you say, Rachel Connolly... basically, you know, tackled him, I suppose is the way to put it, about what she said, the people being left, you know, not enough planning, the plan wasn't good enough, basically, from what she had seen around herself.
Absolutely. And Micheál Martin is something like 35 years a TD in Dáil Éireann. Not alone that, but our government have 70 advisors, special spin doctors advisors. And what they do basically is try and, give us a spin doctored memo and say this is why this has happened and this is unprecedented. As Pa said, this was expected. They knew this was coming in advance. And to not look for help at the earliest opportunity, particularly for vulnerable people, and not accept the help. Like this morning at about 7:30, 7:45, I met a team of engineers from UK who had come to Ireland specifically. They came yesterday, 30 of them, and they're staying here in Galway. And another 30 are arriving today from the UK. They are more than happy, and I thank them for helping us. And I think there's an opportune time for our government to be on hand and to help people, because regardless of whether it's unprecedented, it may happen again. And we are ill-prepared. We do not have the infrastructure. We have not had the investment. And the West, again, is once again forgotten. And that lady speaking about Roscommon and speaking, another lady spoke about it yesterday. Roscommon is often, many times neglected, as are we here in the West. Yet we have three junior ministers at the moment as well. And one of them is in Tuam, County Galway, Sean Canny, who I know well, where that lady is, and I would urge her to get in touch with Sean's office and see what help is available to her that spoke to you at the very beginning. Because while we talk about hubs, many people who are elderly, including my father, who's 96 years of age, they've never used the internet. We have no phone coverage. We have no water. We have no heat. Actually, we have water, but it's cold. We have no means of heating it. We have been told to take out our fires, which we did. I put in a stove. If I light a stove, the pump won't work. So if you've spent all of these nights from 2:30 in the morning on Friday morning without any heat, I'm telling you, you really feel it.
I know myself as well. If you go into a house that hasn't been heated for even a few days, there's almost cold coming out of the walls at you. I mean, it's another level of cold, basically.
And we were getting conflicting messages from the ESB. I've had four different messages, the most recent one saying the time of restoration is currently unknown. Yesterday it was that it would be back this evening. Yesterday was also that it would be back on the 5th of February. I mean, I think there is a need for a proper communication system, that even if it's the 5th of February, then you tell us what you can do. And as for 17 generators coming, where are they coming to? I really think that Micheál Martin should reconvene the Dáil bring them back. They've been out long enough, 12 weeks. What do they need to still be out for when there were over 100 on trolleys in County Galway yesterday in our hospitals? There are greater needs, and they should be back. They should be answerable to the people, and they are not.
Just in that line, in terms of what the ESB are doing and the, you know, the lack of information, I mean, what they would say is that they're now kind of at the stage where they're restoring low voltage network, and that are ones that serve individual homes and small groups of customers. So that's, you can see why the big leaps forward they were doing in the first few days in terms of getting people back on the grid has really dramatically slowed down now, because they're dealing with, you know, lines that may be going to 10 or 20 houses only, or even less.
Katie, I am delighted for anybody who got their power back immediately, for anybody who hasn't lost their power. But I would ask and urge even those with power today to get on to their local representatives and speak for those who do not, particularly vulnerable people like the First Lady who spoke. I mean, you could hear it in her voice, the absolute frustration as she leaves her home to try and help neighbours. And we have a great community in Annadown, Carindulla, who have done tremendous work. I mean, first thing, even as the red warning lifted at 11 o'clock on Friday morning, neighbours, farmers with tractors, with JCBs, were moving trees that blocked roadways without any encouragement from national government or from local government. You know, I just think that there is a real need. I think no other country would suffer in this way, with Micheál Martin coming down on the fourth day to a hub in Castlereagh. And I'm absolutely delighted that Rachel Connolly challenged him, because too often there is no opportunity to challenge. For instance, on Galway Bay FM, and I'm involved with the June Mother and Baby Home Alliance for 10 years, and Roderick O'Gorman came to speak on the radio. He took his advisor and they decided what the theme and what questions they would answer. And that was never conveyed to the listenership or to the public. Okay. And I think there needs to be transparency. When the government are giving a party political broadcast, you say this is not challenged.
Okay,
you know,
okay, Breed, I don't know the details now, and I can't send over that. I don't know the details of what happened in relation to that interview. But what I do get a sense of, and I'm sure you're really feeling, that the mood in the country has darkened considerably in the last couple of days, and not just because people don't have lights they can turn on. There is just definitely a sense where the mood has changed, and there is so much frustration and anger now among people that are really feel like they've been left high and dry.
They've been left behind, Katie. There's no other way to say it. You know, you have my dad lived through Storm Debby. He says that this is worse than Storm Debby. You know, for elderly people, being cold is absolutely, you know, it's a health challenge. It's a risk. Sanitation for newborn babies is also a risk to their health. I think that the government should have been more prepared, and we should have more investment in the infrastructure so that we're prepared again. And as for saying, you know, don't put on fires, I mean, this is, you know, this is food for those who want to have an open fire. You know, we at least we would have heat in one of our rooms had we had that opportunity now. But we have obeyed. We've come along with, you know, various policies of government. I just find that there's an absence. And of course, we haven't even got the radio. So, you know, while we listen to you today, and I've driven to be able to listen to you at home, I have nothing.
Yeah, I know, and I know that sense of isolation is frightening for people, and it's so lonely, and it's as I say, all of that in the cold, in the dark. Maureen, very best of luck. I've loads of calls coming in here. Take care of yourselves down there. I hope you get your power back sooner rather than later. Thanks for that.
Katie.
Thank you, Breeda. Emmett, go on. Emmett? Emmett, how are you?
You do indeed.
You're up in Donegal, Emmett.
We are indeed. That's difficult listening to everybody going through that now. Donegal's well used to the lack of government sort of interest when it comes to things, and this just seems to have filtered through the rest of the country. I was going to talk about our situation, but our situation is the same as everybody else's. So let's talk about why it's taken the government so long to act, why it's taken Micheál Martin so long to actually 4 or 5 days later to actually act like a leader and to have leadership.
Well, just tell me a little bit about what your setup is there, Emmett.
It's the same as everybody else's. We are going to be another 2 to 3 days, possibly, before we get power. This is the same as last year. So when the storm that hit last year, we were 4.5 days without power. It's going to be 7 days this year. So similar situation. We, our house is 10 years old. So we still had the opportunity to put on an open fire, and we put on a gas hob, so we still can heat one room, and we can still cook on the stovetop, but there's no power. There's no mobile signal. And there's no, that's similar to Breda there. There's no way of listening to the radio. There's no way, we can't work from home. We don't have mobile data even to use the computers from home as a hotspot. So we're having to come into my businesses in Letterkenny here. That's about 10 miles away from where I live.
What's your business there, Emmett?
I run a gym in Letterkenny here.
All right. And have you power in the gym?
We have power in the gym, so that's what we're doing. We're sharing the kids and ourselves in the gym. We're doing whatever we need in the gym, ironing-wise, and looking after the kids' uniforms and things like that.
Actually, that's a... Are your clients... Are you open for business? Like, are your clients coming in there?
Yes,
because that's obviously...
We have power, so we have our clients coming in. A lot of the local clients still have power and had power back. Any of the clients that are outside Letterkenny that don't have power, we've given them the opportunity to charge their phones, charge devices, and to use the shower facilities within the gym for them, because they don't have it themselves, and some of them may not have locals, a family that they're able to avail of.
Yeah, God, it just occurs to me now, obviously gyms is one place where there is a lot of showers that would be very useful in, you know, if the power has stayed on there and they're in localities that are without power. So you have that going on at least, and you can access that service yourself.
We're able to access that service through our, because we live beside my wife's parents and they don't have power either, so we can't avail of that.
And like, what's the worst part of it for you, Emmett?
The kids. Well, and the kids being cold and having to drag them around for food and things like that.
What age are your children?
9 and 12.
Right. And cold and bored, I presume, as well.
Cold and bored, yeah. So we are. So we're doing old school stuff with them, 1980s type games and things that you can do by candlelight and by torchlight.
I'd say there's a lot of cards being played around the country, I'd say, in the last while.
There is. There's a lot of board games and things like that being brought out for us.
That's not the worst thing now, in fairness, is it?
It's not. But if the infrastructure was in place, you shouldn't have to do it every year. You know what I mean? It's like what Breda was saying, and Eileen before them, Pat before that, and Catherine back of us.
Yeah. And as you say, it's just, you can kind of make this into a game for the first few days, but once it starts dragging on...
Once it starts dragging on and once it starts getting into that, like if we get ours back now when it says we're going to go back, we're still luckier than Pat. It's going to be another week after us.
Yeah.
I mean, our government are not proactive, they're reactive. They react to situations when the situations happen and panic and see what they can do then. And as Breda was saying, they get their spin doctors out onto the media. They make it look as if it's not as bad as it is. They knew this was coming. There was hurricane chasers in Shannon on Thursday getting ready to go out to the storm because they were classing it as one of the largest coming towards Ireland. So when hurricane chasers come over from America to fly out from Shannon to test the eye of the storm to see how strong it's going to be, why was our government not going, let's get an action plan in place, let's get people in, we're going to need more people? There was 900,000 houses without power on day one, and yet there was crickets from the government.
Now, it is not my job to speak up for the government, but you know what they're going to say, and I heard that the Taoiseach responding Rachel there in Roscommon saying the National Emergency Coordination Committee was out. They had gotten all the county councils, had given them their emergency plans, and they asked everyone for their resilience plans, and that this was on the go in the days and the run-up to the storm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But now they're looking for generators from other countries. Now they're looking for men to come in from other countries to help. Five days later. You know what I mean? It's going to be the largest storm coming in.
And just for accuracy, they say that they did ask for those generators on Saturday. That's right. What Tony Connolly was able to tell us today. They asked for, made a formal request for 25 generators on Saturday, yeah. which was, of course, 2 days after the Thursday night storm.
After.
And we're getting the 17 now from Denmark.
Yes. And then what happens at the end of the next storm after they give those back? Are the are our government and Foresight going to buy their own generators in case this happens again? I can guarantee you they won't, because they're reactive, not proactive. We know this in Donegal. The further away from Dáil Éireann that you get, the less in the minds of the government you are. And the West has discovered this the whole way up the West Coast now, in that people are sitting with their hubs and their action plans and things like this, but the government still haven't decided to come back in and make it look like they're leading the country. And for a lot of them, it's the look of it. To put people's minds at ease, to say, listen, we're doing this. We're
the sense there's somebody in charge. There's a grown up. There's a grown up running the show. Yeah. Listen, Emmett, I have a lot of more calls in. Thank you. Yeah. Best of luck. And good, you know, fair play to you for, you know, having that gym on the go there and having other people giving other people the opportunity for showers and somewhere warm. We have to take a break.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And the calls are coming in. I want to bring in Maureen now. Maureen, good afternoon.
Hi, Katie. Thank you so much for taking the call. We're actually based in Dublin now, Dublin, the capital of Ireland. And we live between Swords and Ashburn.
And you have no power?
We have no power since last Friday, and we've just got an advisory that we were supposed to have it back tomorrow, but in actual fact now my daughter's just after looking up, and she just got a text to say it won't be back till Thursday. And our house, it is four houses together. There's four of us that have no power, and it's just living in an ice box. We have an open fire, and we have a gas hob with two rings for cooking, but that's all. And my daughter has a medical condition, and we had to move out for two nights. We stayed in a hotel, and luckily my sister, I'm over with my sister in Lucan at the moment. But yesterday we tried, when we were in Swords, we tried to get candles now, basic candles, not the scented candles, and we couldn't get one candle anywhere in Swords. We tried all the usual shops there that you'd imagine would supply them, and I couldn't get one candle. So my husband is staying in the house, and it gets dark at 4 o'clock in the evening, and all he has is a flash lamp and the open fire, and the house is just stone cold. Everything in the fridge and freezer has gone off. It's just a disaster, you know, and I just see the government have done absolutely nothing. We're just existing, you know, and I'm over here in my sister's house, and it's terrible being in somebody else's house. You just feel like lost souls, and we don't know when we're going back home because of the situation. I mean, I only can stay here for so long, you know, and it's just awful. And, you know, the guy from the ESB did come out on Saturday to survey the situation, and we were out with him, my other neighbours, we were all out, and he said he logged it in. But we haven't seen anything or anybody since that. No ESB around or anything, you know. So, and we're in Dublin. I feel sorry for the people in the west of Donegal, you know, what they're going through. I know we have water, but it's stone cold. It's ice water we have, you know.
I'm just so surprised that this is in Dublin, because what we've, like, the thing of the last few days has been, you know, ye dubs have no clue what we're going through down here in the West. And you know,
we do. Unfortunately, we do. We do, you know. And the fact we couldn't get anything as basic as candles.
Do you know, as you say that though, Maureen, when was the last time you saw candles, or you even thought about candles that, as you say, aren't the scented ones that we're, you know, the fancy scented ones?
Because I happened to have a few of them in the dresser, and, you know, we had those for the first couple of days, but they burn out so quickly, and we just couldn't get them, only scented candles, and we just gave up after, you know, we tried every place, well, in Swords anyway. and we couldn't get, you know, a candle, the long kind of candle that you put into a candle holder and you could carry around, you know, like in the Victorian era.
So, you know. But there was, of course, that mad panic buying on Thursday. So there could have been, candles would have been something top of that list if you were worried about the power going.
Exactly.
Listen, Maureen, take care of yourselves there. I hope yourself and your neighbours get sorted out soon. And fair play to your sister for taking you in.
Thanks. I don't know what I would have done if she didn't, now, to be honest. But anyway, thankfully for family.
Indeed.
Okay,
thank you, Maureen.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Emily, good afternoon.
Hi, Katie.
How are you, Emily?
We've been better, definitely. We've been better. We're cold, very cold.
Where are you?
We are about 15 minutes outside of Mullingar, just outside of the village of Multifarnham.
Right. So
there are six of us in our family, myself, my husband, and I have a 5-year-old, a 3-year-old, and twin 2.5-year-olds.
Oh my God, Emily. That is a tough situation. Yeah.
It is. It's not the easiest situation at the best of times. So at a time like this now, it's pretty dire, if I'm honest. I think today now is kind of breaking point for us all.
Give me those ages. So you have a 5-year-old, a 4-year-old.
Yeah, Grace is 5, Shay is 3.5, and the twins, Aidan and Theo, are 2.5.
Oh my God, that is...
So we got Shay got back to preschool today, so at least he's thawing out today, but Grace is still, she's in junior infants and her school has no power still, and the twins are at home. I'm a teacher, I teach in Edgartown. My school is actually closed as well. They have no water. And at home here now, we are being told that it will be the 2nd of the 2nd before our power is restored.
So that's what? Is that five more days?
We lost power. Yeah, it's Sunday, next Sunday.
My God.
Yeah.
How are you keeping the kids warm? And
we're not. It's layers. Like the guilt, I suppose, as a mammy now is really setting in today because I know how cold I am. So now, and I know kids don't feel it the same way and they're so resilient and everything. But for example, the twins are down for a nap that they don't need right now, but I won't be waking them because they're, at least I know they're warm, they're wrapped up. They have hoodies and long sleeves and thermal vests and quilts over them. But it's at least they're warm. Yeah, it's difficult. We've been out. We went to the library this morning just to charge and to let them kind of have a little play and home now. And then we'll have to head out again somewhere for the evening to warm up before bed.
Food-wise, how are you managing? Do you have a gas stove there? Or
I have a one-hob gas stove to heat water. But you know yourself now, there's only so many sausages you can cook on a pan and eggs you can boil. So we're eating out a lot. Like I brought the 3 children that I have with me today, I brought them to the deli earlier before I put them down for their nap and got them something in the deli. Last night we ate out in a restaurant. Saturday we had to eat out. It's so expensive. You know, it's just such an you know, unexpected expense on a family. Yeah. Not to mention a week's shopping just gone.
That's the other part of it, of course, yeah.
Yeah.
The freezer, fridge, everything.
Yeah. But the big, like, it's not that the lights, the power you can even cope with. It's just when the cold, like, sets in the way it is today, like, any residual heat that was in the house is gone now. You know, the sheets and the bedding feels damp when you're getting into it. We don't have an open fire, so we have no heat at all. And my parents, they're kind of in like the next town's land, and they have no power either. So, you know, the one place you would go to kind of comfortably with, you know, four small children, we don't have that option either, because they're not in, in any better of a situation than we are.
You just you sound like you are very stressed, Emily.
Yeah, I feel it today now. And I know, God, listening to the show, and I know there's so many other people like worse off, and you tell yourself that. And I think that's such an Irish thing to do. We tell ourselves how, you know, how much worse it could be. And, you know, we have water. Other people don't have water. But at the same time, when you're living in it, and I know 5 days seems like nothing, you know, but when you're living in 5 days of cold and damp, you know, it's massive. Well, like,
I think
it
you
is
can,
massive.
I think you can possibly put up with almost anything yourself. But when you're looking at,
yeah,
at very small children and worrying about them, I think that's what pushes people,
yeah,
over the edge, maybe.
Yeah, and you notice like the noses are running now constantly. You know, they're not sick, but their noses are running. Like when you bring them from cold into heat, their little faces are getting flushed because, you know, the blood is circulating again in their bodies. Like, it's very difficult. And as you said, like, if it was just yourself, you know, you take yourself somewhere for a cup of tea or coffee, and, you know, it wouldn't have such an impact. But there are very few places that I can, you know, bring the four children on my own anyway. Or, you know, there's very few houses that, like, you know, myself, I wouldn't take in, you know, a family of six. So it's not that I expect it from anybody, but it's just, I suppose, I would have thought at this point that, you know, there would have been some official assistance provided, you know.
Like what, Emily? I'm just wondering, like, what do people really want, or what would they have thought would be there by now?
Definitely some form of heat, I think. You know, if they are getting the numbers of people without power, you know, they are getting them down. But I suppose, as the other callers have said, that the last few of us, there are obviously major faults, you know. So I think heat is just the big thing, like heaters, gas heaters. I don't know. They can't be got. People, I see people, you know, selling generators online for €1,500. Like, you know, who has that option, you know, when you're not expecting it? It's hearing about, you know, the assistance funds and all these things. You know, it's the same thing all your other callers have said. Like, when we don't have access to print these things off, or yeah. And you're just, you're so cold and so miserable that it's very hard to summon up the strength or the energy to be proactive, I suppose.
Yeah. Emily.
And the kids are resilient. They're doing great, you know. But like, I think Emmett, your caller Emmett, said, you know, it's just so hard. Like, you're just pulling them from one place to the next place to the next place, just trying to fill the day, make sure they're warm, and then put them into bed.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what to say to you, Emily.
No,
I really feel for you.
Yeah,
that's,
yeah.
You're in a very stressful situation there, but. Look, I hope that the Sunday is the worst case scenario for you in terms
no,
of getting
absolutely.
The power
and
back.
I just hope, as everyone else said, like, that, you know, in future, and, you know, these storms are going to keep coming, like, that, you know, they're the infrastructure is put in place, that people aren't left, you know, a week or over a week or 10 days without power going forward. You know, that's, you know, some sort of a plan can be put in place.
Yeah, that lessons are learned for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Please God, yes, there has been surely very big lessons learned here.
Yeah, it will take a lot of people a long time to recover from this, I suppose.
Yeah. Emily, take care of yourself. Take care of those kids. I hope you get sorted soon.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And I want to bring in Gráinne now. Gráinne, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Katie. How are you?
Well, we're fine here, Gráinne. How are you? Where are you, first and foremost?
Okay, well, I'm in Irishtown in Mayo. It's kind of on the borders of between Galway and Mayo. So, you know, it's about an hour from Galway City.
And I know you actually work as a carer yourself.
Yes. I do indeed, yes. And that has been a bit of a, you know, it's been trying, particularly with if you have clients with dementia and if they're living on their own, that would be the biggest problem there. Mm-hmm. Because they're confused. Now, that is part and parcel of the dementia, because they know that something major has happened, but they can't really express it. They don't, you know, they'll be forgetting, and they'll be asking why there's no electricity, or, you know, why are these lights on, or there's different lights being brought in and everything. So, yeah, that would be a problem for them. So,
and are you having to explain this to some of the...
Oh, yeah. Yes, I have. I have one particular lady, and totally confused, really, at the minute. No electricity, still no electricity, now, but has some water. Now, thankfully, she does have a stove, a kind of an aga, but we have to be careful. We can only light that enough to heat a kettle to try and boil water to make a cup of tea, because we have to keep running the hot water off. Letting the hot water go.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, because there's a boiler on it.
There's a back boiler, yeah.
Yeah. So that creates its own little problems. Otherwise, you know, the best thing I'm doing, really coping with that lady, is to let her stay in bed, making sure she's warm. So at least she's warm in bed, and making sure that there's, if it's not hot food, then it can be, you know, a couple of sandwiches, or try maybe and bring something in, mm-hmm. if when we're going in. That's the best we can do, really. And I bring a flask of a flask every morning, because I'm usually there at about 8:30. So I'd be the first person she has seen since the previous
overnight
evening.
Yeah. And probably a lot of elderly people, older people, who are just staying in bed, actually. Particularly with no light in the evenings, and as you say,
no light,
keeping warm.
Yes, that's it. And you're trying, and you see, you have the other thing that you're trying to explain, because I've brought a couple of things to her. They're Christmassy things that light up, and at least they give light. And I'm explaining how to put them on and leaving a little note, but you see, they don't honestly get it. You know, they're totally confused.
Yeah.
God love them. Yeah, yeah.
And is there any other issues for you then, you know, Gráinne, going about your day in terms of getting around the place?
Cables. I mean, I'm coming out of my own house every day. Now, the first day, I was nearly in shock at first. You see, all of this, if the roof and the windows didn't come in my house on Thursday night, then never come off. The roof will never come off. But I am faced with having to drive over a cable. I have to get out of the house. I have a part of a cable running the length of my house. Now, I'm sure it's a telephone cable. It's hanging on a tree. It's all along the road. I have to drive over that every morning. Then I have to get over another cable, which I feel is an electricity cable, which is on her road.
God, that'd be very, very careful. I mean, we have all those ads that we're being warned constantly not to approach her.
I know, but what can I do? I have to just, I stop the car for a sec, and then I just say, go for it. Just do it. I have to do it. I have no choice. I feel I have no choice. I have to get out of my house. I have to go into that lady. So, and that's it. And I did report it. That there were, you know, I have to say now, and this is not taken away from RTE or anything, but Midwest were great. And they gave out numbers from the Mayo County Council, and we were to report anything. Now, I did report it, and that was on Saturday. And sure, the cables are still there.
As you say that, and it's a good reminder, actually, I do want to give a couple of numbers out. They're 1800-372-999. That's an interactive voice response system for the ESB.
Yes.
So you can report there. And also, just it's important to say, as you say there, you've just reminded me, the ESBs are telling us that they contact all vulnerable customers by SMS, by text message, to notify them. You know,
yeah,
if they're
I
going
know,
to be without power overnight.
Look at, you're talking about people in their 80s, could be 90s, with dementia. There's no point in SMS. They don't have mobile phones. They have landlines. They have. You know, the bracelets,
the safety bracelets.
Yes. They have those. This lady does not have any of that because there's no power. Sure, I know myself. I had no way of, I had no phone. I had no nothing.
Yeah.
Because there's no electricity.
Such an important thing to remember, actually, that people who are relying on those safety bracelets, if you have an elderly mom or a dad or an elderly relative you're looking after, you don't have the comfort of knowing that alarm is there now. Gwanya,
yes.
I'm running out of time here. We're coming closer to the hour.
No problem.
Listen, well done in what you're doing. I mean, you're obviously a very important part of those people's lives. So fair play to you for, you know, going out there and making sure you get to them, because, that is so important to keep people in their homes like that. Gwanya, thank you. We'll take our last break.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And I want to bring in John now. John, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Katie. How are you?
Yeah, where are you, John?
I'm in Athenry in County Galway, the land of no power, no water, no phone, no broadband.
Right.
As it is today. including at work. I'm sitting at work because I snuck in to use the generator to charge my phone so I could talk to you, because we've no power here at the factory either.
Fair play to you.
Could I just a tiny segue. Someone has reminded me while I was on hold here, my father-in-law was a linesman for the ESB all of his life, in fact, back to the 50s, and he worked on the rural electrification. And the night before his wedding, in 1961, he was working as a linesman repairing the damage from Hurricane Debbie in 1961. So I just want to give a shout out to the guys on the road out there, because I met one this morning, because coming from my house, which has no power, I pulled up to the van and I could see him rolling his eyes. Another guy asked him, when's getting power? And now I don't look great after 5 days with no facilities in the house and heat and everything. He looked worse. And I'm quite sure that all the hundreds, if not thousands, of people on the ESB crews are going home to houses with no power and no water. So,
yeah, and can you imagine exactly how demented they must be answering the questions? When are we going to get the power? And when they see people coming at them, and we had a big shout out to them. Oh my God, like they're doing phenomenal work last 5 days, and nights.
After this call, I'm heading to the Dunkellen River with my pump and cans set up to pump water into my cans to bring it home, so we have some sort of basic.
So what you have a portable pump? Have you?
I have a bilge pump from a boat, and no, I don't have a boat, but I have a bilge pump, and I got hoses. I bought new wellies yesterday. I gathered cans, and I went down to the river, and I've been filling my cans every day. So I have 75 litres.
You're not drinking water out of the river, are you?
No. But you need it for everything else. I need it just, you know, for cisterns and just, you know, to have some basic functionality in the house, or you've nothing, you know.
Okay, who's in the house with you?
I have my wife and my daughter, and my son is away at the moment. And we are. It's like they think it's hilarious. It reminds me of the 70s because I grew up in a land of power cuts and strikes in the 70s.
I was going to say, like anyone who's alive in this country in the 80s or in the 70s will be very familiar. And yes. I was thinking there, was it Maureen that couldn't get candles? Nobody would have dared not have candles in the house back at those days because the power cuts were so regular.
The other trick we've learned to do is cooking on a barbecue.
Oh yes, I've heard about this, John. What have you been managing to cook on your barbecue?
Well, between myself and my wife now, because I have to give her credit, Pauline, we have managed to have roast pork fillet, chicken, burgers. We had kind of a mince, let's call it a concoction, right? But the pièce de résistance last night, because it was a case of throw them in the bin or have a go, we cooked apple strudel in the barbecue.
So this would have been frozen apple strudel, was it?
Well, it was frozen on Friday, but it definitely wasn't frozen yesterday. So it was the bin or the barbecue.
The big question is, what does barbecued apple strudel taste like?
Absolutely like normal barbecue, because it's only heat, right? It's a gas barbecue. It's not charcoal or anything. And it was fantastic. It took longer than I thought, and I kept having to muck with the flame and setting my phone to check it every 5 minutes. But I think it probably took 45 minutes, being careful, in the barbecue, which is outside, by the way, because you can't roast inside. But it was fantastic. And the only thing we didn't have with this, because the fridge is obviously as dead as a dodo, is ice cream, because you have no ice.
It sounds like you're managing pretty well, John, in fairness.
I'm getting tired of it. Yeah, it's been novelty, you know, grand, the MacGyver thing with the pump and everything is okay. But I'm past that now. I'd really like some... Now, I'm lucky I live in a modern, warm, timber, insulated house. And it's only now, after 5 days, the temperature is beginning to go down. But I listened to some of the people earlier, my heart goes out to them, you know. And as a builder myself, I have to tell you, we're going to have to go back to the own solid fuel appliances, I'm afraid. They're going to have to go back in.
Oh, I doubt it. Do you think that's the way forward?
I can tell you absolutely. I'm hearing it left, right and centre from customers. I got an email from a customer who said, the house you're going building for me, I need to engineer it now to put a stove in it. It's already started.
Wow.
There's enough timber fallen since Friday to take us from here to 30-25. Never mind anything else.
How long are you going to be waiting for the power, John? What have you been told?
5th of February.
Oh, Lord. Okay.
And no electricity means no water, because there's a pump in the house beside us.
Okay. John, I'd say no better man to get you there, but good luck with that, and take care of yourselves, and I'll look forward to hearing about more great recipes from the barbecue. That's it. We're out. On sound today was Paul Murnock. Research was by Richie Byrne. Our broadcast coordinator was Shane Galvin, and today's programme was produced by Rachel Graham. Stand by now for Ray.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Home in on end-of-season savings on bedding, curtains, wallpapers and more. In-store and online at harrycurry.com.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815 or send your WhatsApp voice notes to 087 484 8888.